Monday. Sunday, next thing you know, Monday. And the storm came. I had just finished a beautiful walk in the park. Some people would call it golfing, but I had finished my walk, and the cell phone began to ring, and I thought perhaps it was Linda calling from work, and on the other end of the, so I hurriedly answered the phone, and suddenly on the other end of the phone was our son, and our son said to me, "Dad, what are you doing?" And I said, "Well, I've just finished a walk in the park. And what are you doing?" He says, "Dad, I'm in a bad way." Can you think of anything more disturbing? "Dad, I'm in a bad way." Now, when a 46-year-old guy comes to you and says, "Dad, I'm in a bad way," you know there's something serious going on. Now, he had been sick since Thursday, and he says, I can't breathe. I can't stand up. I can't move. And I am sweating profusely. So we left right away. Fortunately, we're only 10 minutes away. He lives down here in Cultus Lake. And that Monday night, this was about 1:30 in the afternoon, that Monday night at 7 o'clock in the evening, our son Christopher was going through emergency surgery for a gangrenous gallbladder that had exploded. The storm was intense. I can't tell you in retrospect all the things. There isn't enough time today to tell you how God, in His grace, in His mercy, in His ability to coordinate things that are uncoordinatable, worked and acted in that experience. But I want to tell you this morning, God is faithful, God is just, God is righteous, God has come to save. God has come to be part of your life and my life. He sent His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, that you and I might have the power to live in victory. I want to tell you that this morning. And if I don't tell you anything else today, please go away with that thought in your mind, that you are a child of the King. And there is nothing that can beset you that God doesn't know about, that God isn't willing to act on, that God will not give you the power to overcome. Thank you, worship team, for reminding us this morning. That was awesome. So we found ourselves in the hospital, in the waiting room. Have you ever been in the emergency waiting room? Only me? Oh, thank you. So you know the experience, right? Doors open and close, and you can't get through those doors unless, of course, you're wearing a Salvation Army uniform. Which was at home in the closet. And they don't care who you are, whose kids you are, we want to focus on that person and that person only. God bless them. We have a wonderful health care system. And we praise the doctors and nurses every day and thank them for their ministry to us. So there I am sitting. Mom is already with Chris in the other side, and I'm watching stretchers come and go and doors open and close and people coming and children throwing up, and it was a wonderful experience. Because I love to watch people, and we love to make up stories. And then I was able, Linda phoned me, and there we were. Linda was there at the door, and I was here. And like every other person who has a cell phone, we were talking to each other on our cell phones. And she says, "I'm over here, I'm over here." And I'm looking everywhere. What? Where are you? I'm over here. And I looked to my right at a door which had never opened and was always closed. And there was my wife. And I was able to go in and see Christopher. He's doing well. God is healing his body. And we rejoice in those things. But waiting. Waiting is an awful experience. There's stuff that goes through your mind while you're waiting. And while I was waiting and watching people coming and going, and I'm thinking about Chris and what could be wrong. We had no idea what was wrong. And could it be his heart? God, if you could just clue me in here. And God, listen, God was silent. Has that ever happened to you? Oh, God, I'm in this jam, and I'm so concerned about my boy. Give me a clue. That's exactly what happened. Silence. Wait. I got everything under control. But don't you need my help? Say, shouldn't I be doing something here? Shouldn't I be active somehow? Shouldn't I get up and jump up and down and cause a commotion and let me through that door and I'll, because we're fixers, aren't we? And God said, wait, trust me. I know Chris. I know what's going on. I have put that doctor in place already. He might be leaving tonight on vacation for a month, but today, right now, in this place, he is attentive to your son. Hold on. The Bible is filled with people who had to wait. Look at Abraham. He was told that he was going to be the father of many nations. And he had to wait and wait and wait for this first son. Look at Noah. He built an ark. It had never rained before. He had to wait 120 years with the ridicule of the people. Oh, yeah, sure, it's going to, not is it going to rain, but what is rain? It had never rained until that time. There was Joseph. He had to wait years and years and years to do what he did in Egypt. I want to talk to you this morning about these Israelites who had to leave Egypt and go to a place they had no idea of its location, what they were going to meet there, who they would meet there, or even why they were going other than to escape persecution. It says in Exodus, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them, what's the word? Directly. Though that was shorter, for God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. Friends, when it comes to God and God's influence and power and plan for your life, there are no shortcuts. Say it with me, will you? There are no shortcuts. Try it again. There are no shortcuts. I've said that year after year after year. There are no shortcuts when it comes to God. God will never take a roundabout route for any purpose in your life. God led them through the wilderness for 40 years, testing them to find out how they would respond and how they would obey. I've changed the wording a little bit, because in this passage of Scripture from the Living Bible, it says, testing you to see how you will respond and to see how obedient you are going to be. Being obedient to God is a phenomenal thing when you look at the result. But obedience to God will take courage. And you will have to stand up before many and declare that you are a child of the King when all around you have no desire to be in the kingdom. God says, wait and watch. So what do we do while we're waiting? Well, the first thing God says, don't fear. These Israelites, they would not enter the land. They said, we are afraid. The people there are stronger and taller than we are. We are afraid. Which is confusing. They had enough faith to get out of Egypt. They had enough faith to walk through the wilderness. They had enough faith to even move towards the promised land. But they didn't have enough faith to take that one step across the border. And you and I will face many borders in our lives. And God will say to you and to me, take that step. Move forward. Do not retreat. Oh, God, but that is bigger. I can't possibly. Look at all of the objections to. Look at. And God says, move forward. How do you move forward in situations like that? I would suggest to you this morning that you and I need to focus on God's presence. He is there with us. He was there yesterday. He's there today. And he will be there tomorrow. He was there while you were sleeping. He was there in the middle of the storm. He was there saying to you and to me, wait, it's not the time. Listen, God has not forgotten you. He has not forgotten me. He knows every movement, you make. He knows every breath that you take. In fact, the next breath that you take is only by God's anointed and holy will. You are a child of the King. And nothing can beset you that He is not aware of. And God in your life and in my life has always taken you down a highway of holiness. Oh, but when I was, and when I was, and when I was doing that, and that wasn't so holy, and yeah, that was because of the choices we make. But Isaiah says that there is a road, a highway of holiness, that you and I are to walk in God's plan and purpose for our lives. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for you to prosper and to succeed, not plans to harm you at all. The second thing we need to do while we're waiting is don't get uptight. Oh. Have you ever had to wait at a traffic light? My mother, bless her, is 91 years of age. And if that light doesn't turn to green immediately, it's good job that those traffic lights can't respond. My mother would like to see things happen right away. Oh, wait a minute. So would I. We live in a fast food society, don't we? We like to drive up, and we hate to be the third in line at McDonald's, my word. And you go to the grocery store, and there's only two cashiers instead of seven. And there are times in our life when we're caused to wait. So don't get uptight. On the way, the people lost their patience and spoke against who? Who did they speak against? God and Moses. They complained. Friends, I want to tell you something that I believe, and I believe very strongly. That was the sin that kept them out of the promised land. That was the sin that kept them out of the promised land. The scripture in the 37th Psalm said, "Do not get angry. Do not complain." They, no matter what God had done for them, the 10 plagues, the Red Sea experience, even the manna that He had provided, they complain about having no food, and then they complain about the food that they were given. Can you imagine that little family in the tent sitting there, and the kids are saying to Dad and Mom, "Oh, Mom, we're having McManna muffins for breakfast again?" And at lunchtime, they say, "McManna burgers? When is it ever going to change?" "Well, wait for supper, because we have McManna kebabs." Sometimes don't we complain about the way God answers our prayers? Sometimes are we a little, well, sure, we're grateful, but you know, God, I would have done it a different way. Like I had it all set up. And God comes in and he does something spectacular in our lives. And we complain. Impatience, the proverb says, will get you into trouble. So what should we do? We need to trust in God's timing. We need to trust in God's way. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him to act. Don't fret. Don't worry. It only leads to harm. God set a right time for everything. Can you believe that? I have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. For me, for Linda, for our family, for you. But God, in his infinite plan, has got it all worked out. He knows every thought that you and I have before we think it. He knows every word that comes out of our mouth before we speak it. And so God says, don't get uptight. Don't get discouraged. Something else that we need. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses. If we had only died in Egypt, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. You know what happened to them? That happens to us sometimes. They gave up on their dream. They gave up on their dream. Here was the promised land, milk and honey, and everything was going to be great. And over here was bricks and mortar and slavery and they gave it. They wanted to give it up because things got a little tough. If you read some of the commentaries, you'll hear that there was anywhere between 2.5 million and 3.5 million Jews that left Egypt on this trek. How many entered the promised land? Do you know? Two. Out of 3 million, two entered their promised land. Their names were Caleb and Joshua. Sometimes the good old days always look a little bit better, don't they? When I was 18 years old, I had my first kidney stone. Fortunately, I gave birth. But in the good old days, I'd be dead. In the good old days. In the good old days, we used to write with a pencil and a piece of paper. And we had to wait 3 weeks for a reply. Now, we can talk to each other instantaneously. And so the Israelites looked at the old days. They were ready to go back to onion leeks and garlic. And they were ready to settle for mediocrity. In the good old days. So what should we be doing? We should be persistent in prayer. Let us never grow tired of doing what is right. For if we do not faint, we will reap a harvest at the right time. God's got it all worked out for you and for me. The last thing that I want to share with you this morning is this. Don't forget. We forget so quickly, don't we? We tend to forget that God is with us. We tend to forget that His power and His grace is more than we could ever imagine. We tend to focus on our problems rather than our blessings. This is what happened to the Israelites. They forgot the many times God showed them His love. Thank you for 1 Corinthians 13. And they rebelled at the Red Sea. But He saved them as He promised. But they quickly forgot again. They wouldn't wait for God to act. How many times in a jam have you said, "Oh God, help me through this"? And He does. And 6 months later, you've totally forgot what He's done. Because the next storm has come, the next problem has come. It's unbelievable how short our memory is when it comes to the blessings of God. It's unbelievable at times when the delay comes, how we want to go back to the old ways. In our present ministry, dealing with addictions, time and time again, people want to revert back to that comfort that leads to death, rather than sticking out the storm, rather than waiting and watching and seeing how God can come into their lives and change them completely. We pray lots together for the infilling of God's power in their lives to resist. So what ought we do? We ought to remember God's promises. There are over 7,000 in this book. Did you know that? 7,000 promises of God. If you start now reading one a day, it'll take a long time. I will bless the Lord and not forget the great things He has done for me. The Lord is not being slow to carry out His promises, but He is being patient with who? With you. With me. Many times God is just waiting for us to learn a lesson because He's more interested in our character than our comfort. And He wants us to develop, to be all that He wants us to be. And He wants us to be excited about our life in Him. And He wants us to wake up in the morning and saying, "Good morning, God." Rather than, "Good God, it's morning." And so the people of Israel never entered the promised land. But I want to say to you this morning, God has not forgotten you. If you find yourself in God's waiting room this morning, if you find yourself in the midst of a storm or coming through that storm or the storm that awaits, remember this, God has not forgotten you. You are a child of the kingdom of God. And He will empower you. Listen to this in Habakkuk. These things won't happen right away. Slowly, steadily, surely, the time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. If it seems slow, do not despair. For these things will surely come to pass. Just be patient. They will not be overdue a single day. they will not be overdue a single day. Do you believe it? Say amen. Let's pray.